I'd like to then bring to your attention what we have been writing about in our update, number 841, beginning with the editorial, which was written by Mr. Brian Gale, titled At Your Service. And he says in there, today we live in an age of selfishness, where the prevailing ethos is me, mine, I, and don't forget myself. And then later in the editorial, he says that we have long understood in the Church of God that this life is our training ground for the kingdom of God, and we must develop those godly attributes that we will need to use after Christ's return. And service is right there at the top of such requirements. And I will also talk a bit more about what else is included. In our current events section, we start with an article about Brexit, and we say in there, that is quoted from The Week, dated August 13, that's an all-increasing possibility that the March 2009 deadline is reached without an agreement in place. That is the third option, the no-deal Brexit. Talked about the soft-deal Brexit, they talked about the hard Brexit, but the worst-case scenario, they say, is the no-deal Brexit. And they say in here that it's more and more likely that that is what's going to be. It says that would be utter chaos. Rules governing everything from food standards to medicines to aviation and more would suddenly disappear in March 2019. There would be nothing to replace them. It says almost a third of Britain's fresh food supply is imported from the EU. The possibility of a no-deal Brexit is raising concerns that many of those shipments would get stuck at the border. Arrangements governing aviation would also go away, potentially grounding planes until it's all sorted out, leaving both air travel and shipping in chaos. And there are more examples given. And then it says, if you're wondering why reports are filtering in of the British government stockpiling food and medicine and other supplies, that is why. And there are more and more reports talking about not just the government doing it, but citizens doing it also. It's hard to imagine that something like that could happen. But we do know from biblical prophecy that ultimately, not only the relationship between continental Europe and Britain will become completely hostile, but also other curses are pronounced by God on the modern house of Israel. And of course, famine is one of it. We also talk about an EU summit on the Day of Atonement, which was quite interesting because it is Austria, which by that time will be in charge of Europe for a while. They have this rotating system. And they started a summit on the Yom Kippur Day, the Day of Atonement. And the question is, well, was this done intentionally? Was it done because it was just insensitive to do so? Austrian's Vice Chancellor, Heinz Christian Strache, is a member of the far-right Freedom Party, which has a long history of anti-Semitism. And it's, to me, at least hard to believe that something like that could have been done unintentionally. We also have an article in here about the battle for the Temple Mount. And this article talks about the fact that more and more evidence has been given that the quote-unquote biblical and prophetic role of the Temple Mount as a house of prayer for all nations is coming into fruition. It also says here that actually Jewish sovereignty on the Temple Mount is being more and more planned for. But you see, it's not just the Temple Mount. You see, if you're talking about the prophesied role as a house of prayer, it's not the Temple Mount. It's a temple we are talking about. And so, as we have said time and again, the Bible makes it very clear that a third temple is going to be built prior to Christ's return. Now, there are some self-proclaimed ministers and prophets and what have you who, every time we say that, attack us, saying, oh, we don't know what we're talking about because it's not going to be a temple. It's only talking about a spiritual temple, the church. which makes no sense, because the man of sin is going to sit in the spiritual temple of the church, proclaiming to be God. It makes no sense. But they also say, well, if we wait for a third temple, then we wouldn't know when the great tribulation starts, because a third temple will never be built. These are the same people who proclaimed that Christ would come back in 2019, who proclaim that there's going to be a seven-year contract, and only after 3.5 years it will be broken, and then the great tribulation will start. The same people who claim that there have to be a king of the south before it's all over. Now, if anybody is not going to know when the great tribulation is going to start, it is those people, because the Bible doesn't say there's going to be a seven-year contract. The Bible doesn't say that there has to be a king of the south. There could be, but it doesn't require one, because that king of the south and the prophecies regarding him in the book of Daniel have already been fulfilled, if you want to believe it. Mr. Armstrong read about it. Of course, those people immediately ignore those statements, doing it in a quiet, dishonest way. But I like to just point that out again to you, that because to me it's just amazing that these people having a following. You know, 2019, Christ is coming back. What? But then you have a 7-year contract first. I mean, how can that fit together? And they still have a following. It's amazing. It's just amazing. We also write about Turkey and the deteriorating relationship between Turkey and the United States. Now, that's very important, because Turkey is biblical Edom or Esau. And we know from the Bible that the relationship between Esau and the modern house of Israel and Judah will deteriorate. And so it's not just Judah. You see, it's not just the Jews. It's also the United States of America. And so here we have already preliminary fulfillment of these very hostile relationships, and they get more and more hostile by the day and the hour, if you please. We have further articles about the relationship between Germany and the United States more and more deteriorating. Here's an article about the German economy minister, Peter Altmaier, saying that President Trump is destroying economic growth. But I'm not going to go into economic growth anymore, because the person who's going to give us the sermon today is going to speak about that topic, and I don't want to preempt him insofar as that's concerned. I could, but then, of course, you know, we are here for a long time. We have an article about Romania, and here's the governmental violence against Romania we are reporting on. We actually have members over there from Romania. But the role of Romania is not clear at all. It's one of those enigmas. We say in here that Romania has joined the EU, but it's not part of the custom and border-free Schengen agreement. Of course, it didn't accept the euro either. It could very well be that they are going to reestablish strong ties with Russia. Here's a quote from Balkan Insight, and they wrote, despite its historic anti-Russian outlook and strong support for NATO, Romania's relations with Moscow are not as straightforwardly hostile as they sometimes appear. And this article gives all kinds of interesting developments between Russia and Romania. Now, we don't know at this point where Romania is going to end up. We know that Ukraine is clearly going to end up in Russian hands. That is clearly prophesied. Romania, it's a little bit unclear. That's why I'm pointing this out. We have to watch and see whether they are going to be part of Europe or part of Russia. Both possibilities exist. We're also talking about America's immigration policies, and I'm not going to go into this. You can take the time to read that yourself. But I want to point out that we're not just talking about immigration policies of America. We don't want to ignore the fact that we have immigration policies all over the world which are very controversial. I was just reading last night, even though I couldn't move, but I was just able to read it, though, an article about Switzerland. And in Switzerland, they refused to give citizenship to two Muslims. These were two Muslim residents, a couple. But they wouldn't give them citizenship. Why? Because a man refused to shake hands with a woman, not his wife. Now, that is apparently a custom by the Muslims not to do that. But to say that this is now grounds for not giving citizenship is alarming to me, because what's next? Oh, well, you don't eat pork, or you can't become a citizen. Or you mean you don't serve in the army, you cannot become a citizen. You see, where does it stop? Where does it stop? And so we see more and more these kind of interesting developments. What I do want to say about immigration when it comes to America, which was surprising to me perhaps, The Week wrote on August 11 that 75% of Americans think immigration is generally a good thing for the country. More patriotic Americans also tend to be more pro-immigration. For most Americans, there is no contradiction between love of country and a welcoming attitude toward those who wish to move here. The idea that we are a nation of immigrants has deep roots, and it's not undone easily. Now, they point out it might be undone easily in the future, but right now it's still not the prevalent viewpoint. I found this quite interesting, because you all know our position on immigration and what we feel about that and how it's being used and misused these days. And we do feel we are patriots in the truest sense of the word, because we love this country and we want the best for this country. But we realize that in lieu of the sins of this country will have to learn first. Now, that brings up an interesting point, which didn't make it in the update because, you know, it didn't happen until after the update was published. You probably have all heard that President Trump wanted to have a military parade this year, and the military parade was canceled for whatever reason. Maybe it was financial, maybe it was others. But he was actually in France and observed the military parade in France on the Baptiste Day. And of course, you know, he was so impressed by that that he thought we should have one too. Now, I could never understand, and I have been in the church for quite a while, that especially French members would celebrate that day, the Baptiste Day. And of course, you know what that is, right? That has had to do with when the French Revolution started, and it had to do with unbelievably cruel, murderous conduct when the guillotine was playing its role almost like on a daily basis, hourly basis, where people were just slaughtered and killed back and forth. And that's where that is coming from. Why would any church member have anything to do with that kind of a celebration? Now, it was also amusing to me when it came to this military parades, because I saw a certain parallel. But again, I know what I'm saying now can be easily misconstrued. So I'm not saying it to make any point except to give you an historical precedence. And the historical precedence was that when Hitler was in Italy, Mussolini showed him his army in a parade. Now, Mussolini was a little bit cleverer than Hitler at the time, because he let his army walk around the block several times without Hitler recognizing it, so the army looked a lot bigger than it really was. So Hitler comes home, he wants to now also have a parade to impress the German people. But not only that, he invited Stalin, and so Stalin observed that parade, and guess what? He then also had a parade in Russia. So one thing led to the next, and people really loved their parades, and really today people love their armies, and they love their soldiers and their military. And if you're not careful, we in the church can be easily influenced by that, if you're not careful. Because you see, again, we read earlier what Mr. Gale said about Christ and having to imitate what Christ stands for. In not more than 1.5 months or so, we're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to keep a feast which looks forward to the millennium. It looks forward to a time when there won't be any more military parades. Why? Because there won't be any more military. Why? Because Christ will teach the nations the truth about war and the military. And then the nations will do away with all of that. And they will not want to learn war anymore. Now, we are supposed to be ambassadors of this coming kingdom, this coming rule. Why do we sometimes have such a hard time in God's church to see that all of that, what I've just described, is wrong? It's all wrong. It's all against God's will. Why would we want to participate in these kind of things, even in our own minds, thinking, oh, this is just great. Yeah, we have to spend billions upon billions of dollars to build up a great army, and now we're talking about even a space force. Don't you understand how much of a waste of money that is? And don't you understand that that will not be allowed in the millennium, the time we are going to celebrate and foreshadow during the Feast of Tabernacles in a few weeks from now? Now, we also have a standing watch program out regarding the attack on innocent children, and I'm not going to go into the articles which are covered by the standing watch program, but I like to read a few articles which are not covered in the context. And one has to do with legal assisted suicide. And we read something in CBN News, dated August 8, that first of all, Belgium is on top, even when it comes to legal assisted suicide. But then Canada runs a close second in the world for legal assisted suicide. Now, if you want to know what legal assisted suicide is, somebody wants to die and you help him dying. Physicians and nurse practitioners have killed almost 4,000 patients since euthanasia was legalized in Quebec in December 2015 and ultimately throughout the country. Ontario recently passed a law, and that's what is clearly alarming. They passed a law requiring all doctors to kill illegally qualified patients, even though the judge acknowledged it violated the religious and conscience rights of doctors who did not want to perform legally assisted suicides. That law makes it mandatory for them to do so. And we have other laws around the world requiring that doctors perform abortions, even though they might be conscientiously opposed to those. That's, my friends, that's, brethren, where we're going. That's the kind of world we're already living in. And it's going to get worse and worse. Another article which we covered in our update is the massive destruction of marine life in Florida. And Fox News pointed out on August 14 that a blanket of red tide along Florida's Gulf Coast that's killing marine life, in addition to emptying normally packed beaches with an unrelenting stench, has caused the state's governor to declare a state of emergency for parts of the region. And then it talks about the fact that marine life is now living in water which has become toxic. And a large amount of turtles, large fish, manatees washed up dead, 11 dead dolphins have been found, 300 sea turtles, manatees, and even a whale shark were killed. More than 100 tons of dead fish have been removed from area beaches. And all we want to say is that in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 3, it talks about the fact that even the fish of the sea will be taken away. We're not saying that this is the fulfillment of this prophecy, but what we are saying is that it's a preliminary fulfillment. Again, it shows where this world is going. And I'll tell you one thing. I mean, even though we have been here for a long time and we have been at the beach for a while, we still underestimate the power of the sun, even when it's not that sunny. And that's why my face is a little red today. And then I'm thinking, what? The sun is going to get 7 times stronger, as the Bible says, before it's all over? I mean, how can anybody survive when you think in terms of what is going to prophesy, to be prophesied, what's going to happen? All right, back to the update. We also talk about the terrible, despicable situation where Catholic priests have sexually violated children in their care, and we did not even point out the horrible details in the reports which have been published. This has to do with Pennsylvania only. And of course, some of the things have come to light, even where, you know, some inappropriate relationship took place between a priest and an altar boy, let's say. And then the altar boy was given a certain token to wear, and that was a signal to other priests that, oh, this guy already went through it, so you can use him too. I mean, horrible, horrible, despicable things. And again, the statute of limitations has run in most cases. There might be a few where those priests could still be prosecuted, but in most cases, it's too late. But believe you me, that doesn't mean that those priests will not have to take and give account for what they've done. But the one article which we didn't cover in the Standing Watch, which I'd like to point out now, is the last one in our current events section. Live Site News wrote on August 14 that a Vatican consultant who leads the Canadian Catholic media organization Salt and Light Television, his name is Thomas Rosica, has issued a statement publicly recognizing that Pope Francis, quote, breaks Catholic traditions wherever he wants, close quote, and that he rules by his own personal authority rather than the tradition of the Catholic Church. The Pope's openness, also a signature of his Jesuit training and development, he is of course the first Jesuit priest who became Pope, means, according to Rosica, and that I thought was extremely interesting, that not even he is sure where the Spirit will lead. Well, we are not talking about the Holy Spirit here. We are talking about a different kind of spirit. But according to this statement, even the Pope isn't sure where that spirit is going to lead him. And we have to watch that. It's quite interesting, it's quite remarkable what is being said within the Catholic Church about that Pope. It goes on to say that others have called him the dictator Pope, and Francis rules as an aloof and arrogant autocrat, indifferent to Catholic doctrine. Some other author here, H.J.A. Sire, whoever that is, was saying. So again, let's keep watching. We are watching for the person who will manifest to become the beast. We are watching for the person who's going to manifest himself to be the false prophet. And we also, as I pointed out recently, we are also watching for those who might be the two witnesses. Now let me just say this, and that gets me to the next one, the Q&A. Nobody today knows who the two witnesses are. And those who claim that they are the two witnesses are not the two witnesses. That far, we can go quite clearly. The Q&A written by Mr. Harris is talking about the basis of reason or reason for ordination. And it's good that we from time to time review those important topics. First, he's talking about how priests were ordained and made priests in the Old Testament, like Aaron and his sons. And then he's talking about Joshua having been ordained by Moses to be his successor, of course, under godly inspiration. And then he goes about talking about the situation in the New Testament and the fact that people had to be ordained and hands had to be laid upon them by the ministry in order to make them deacons or deaconesses or elders, or when the elders would be raised in rank. That wasn't just done because somebody felt like it. Somebody is thinking, oh, well, I'm a prophet now because a person, you know, anointed me because I was sick. I mean, that's sick, right? But he didn't become a prophet. I mean, as I said, there is no apostle and no prophet today in God's church. We don't know of any. And again, those who claim that they are don't tell you the truth. But, you know, there might be some in the future. We know that the two witnesses will have to be prophets and apostles, but that will become clear in due time. Now, Mr. Harris goes on to say that throughout the church of that era, talking about the time of Paul, the early apostles, there was a need for ordained servants, and this is why Jesus Christ gave structured leadership to the church. It wasn't like people just went out and said, okay, now I'm suddenly a prophet, now I'm suddenly an apostle, now I'm suddenly go out and do what I think I should be doing. No, there is organization, and there is leadership and structure in the church. And it's not only then. It's also today. And so that's why he says, Jesus spoke of the work which lay before his servants. He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, quoting Luke 10 and verse 2. Are we doing that? Are we praying to God that he would bless his work, but he also would see to it that those who are qualified to become ministers, let's say, or deacons or deaconesses, whatever the case may be, that will happen? You know, we have to do that. We have to make sure that we understand that we need more help. We absolutely need more help to do our job of doing our part of proclaiming the gospel in all the world as a witness and, of course, to feed the flock. When it comes to the work, the Standing Watch program, as I already have introduced, the title, Worldwide Attack on Our Innocent Children, gives the following summary. This program gives you several abominable examples of the society's attack on our children and encourages you to counteract such vicious and immoral deceptions, from euthanasia of young children at any age, to late-term abortions in the name of science, to cancer-causing luciferate, I had to check that one out, how you pronounce it actually, in vaccines and children's food, to harmful e-cigarettes, to promotion of transgender, to sexual child abuse by Catholic priests. Notice, none of these examples are in line with the biblical admonition to train up our children in the fear of God and allow them to come to Christ. To put it differently, all these actions prevent our children to come to Christ. That's what we should understand. Every single one of them. And of course, there are a lot more we could have mentioned. Then the German sermon, Besiegen Sie Ihre Sucht nach Rauchen, Saufen, Kiffen, Alkoholmissbrauch, illegalen Drogen und Sex. That's the title of our German sermon today. In English, it would mean conquer your addiction with smoking, pot, alcohol abuse, illegal drugs, and sex. Now, I've given several sermons on all these topics before, a while back actually. I decided to give another one and challenged those who might have heard the previous ones and had written me and had said, okay, well, thanks very much, that's great, great sermon, and I'm now stopping to do whatever I'm doing. And I was asking, well, are you still on board? And, you know, I did get some responses to the effect, well, it was good I heard that sermon because I was already in the process of slipping. I'm sure glad that I heard it. So that's encouraging, at least, that people try to stay on the narrow way, the right way. It's amazing to me, however, that so many have so many problems with whether it's smoking or alcohol abuse. Some who even write me and say, oh, they want to become church members and they want to get baptized. And when I ask questions like, well, how are you doing? Oh, well, I'm smoking. I use pot. I get drunk. I use illegal drugs. I live in fornication or an adulterous situation. Our answer is, well, and you want to get baptized? I mean, you know, you have to explain that to me first. So anyway, I hope that this will help somewhat to get the straight and focus on the things. Now, our new member letter, which was written by Caitlin Mitchell, letter for August, we announced this already last time. It has been now mailed out, and it has also been posted on the web. And again, it's an encouragement to keep our right focus on what we're supposed to be doing. We have also our newest feast flyer for the Feast of Tabernacles, both in English and German, for our German feast on the web. And by the way, some have asked how we're doing with finding a new feast site in Germany for 2019. There's some interesting developments, but we need to look into the places when we are over there. It's difficult to do that via internet. But so there's some promising development, but as I said, our prayers, your prayers are greatly appreciated because God will have to show us. God will have to show us where we want to be, where we ought to be, and just spilling the beans a little bit. The next Q&A will go right into this topic. That's all I want to say right now. But then we have also the sermonette from last week, a few more things about the two witnesses and also the sermon from last week by Kellen Mitchell in the presence of God. We are going to have these sermons and sermonettes have been posted. We also have a ministerial Skype meeting tomorrow. So for those of you ministers who might have forgotten that, so it's tomorrow morning. We are going to have a ministerial Skype meeting. It's the last one before the feast. And we want to talk about some of the things in preparation for the feast. And then again, we have the dates for the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day listed. Feast of Trumpets being September 10. Not that far off, September 10. And my wife and I and Michael will be leaving September 11 for Germany. And Noel and Mason will come later, meeting us in Berlin. And then, of course, Margaret Adair will already have left prior to that. And, of course, then we meet all the friends from England and Canada in Berlin, and then we'll have the feast over there. But I'll speak to you before that happens. I know that many of you will be going to Idaho for the feast site, which God has placed his name on for the United States and Canada. You should understand that too. That's the feast site God has placed his name on insofar as the Church of Eternal God and its affiliates are concerned. No other place.